Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 592. I am Chris. We're not sure where Tony is. He'll be along, but Earl is here.
So you're not, as always, joined by Tony. Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that, yes.
Plot twist. I did not see that coming. And no, I am Earl. I am here. I am here. That's not a reference. I was just repeating myself because I didn't know what to say. So turn it over to Jeff.
Jeff's here too.
I'm here and I'm perfectly sane.
Yeah, that's the way to describe it.
Yeah, all of us are.
Before we get started, I found this really awesome beer can that I had to get, and I'm trying it for the first time right now. It's called Ghostface Slasher, and it has Ghostface from Scream on the can.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think I posted a picture of it on the Twitters yesterday. Well, Wednesday, as of this recording. It's a pomegranate and lime New England style IPA. It's actually pretty tasty. I think the fruit kind of cuts into the general hoppiness, so.
That's a cool can.
Yeah. I was debating having it delivered, which is fine. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going outside of such a lovely day. And I walked by it and I'm like, oh gosh, I have to have that. And I did. So, yay for me.
What are you having?
I'm talking about the beer I'm having, which is called a Ghostface Slasher. It's a pomegranate and lime New England IPA.
That's delicious.
It is really good.
Really I'm having good. A sweet baby Java.
Is that a coffee?
I think Chris, or not Chris, Jeff, you reviewed the sweet baby Jesus, right? The chocolate peanut butter porter?
I've had that one.
I've had one, but I've had a chocolate peanut butter porter before, but no, I never had that.
Well, so this is a chocolate peanut butter porter. I've had many times, except this particular version is infused with espresso beans.
Yeah, I don't like all that.
So it's called Sweet Baby Java.
Delicious. Sounds good.
You know what's good is Miller Lite.
No, it's not good.
You
could replace that with seltzer water, and you'd have the same flavor and texture.
You know what you can't get?
You'd live longer.
You can classify it as beer.
I mean, it's more beer than like Coors Light.
It's more beer than espresso, chocolate, bean, peanut butter.
There's actually alcohol and flavor in this. It's amazing. You should try it, Jeff.
You know what you can't get at your local bowling alley? An espresso, chocolate, bean, peanut butter, porter.
That is true. That's 100% true. You're not getting a fancy beer at the corner bowling alley.
You'd be really surprised by the bowling alleys that are around here.
Well,
are you serious? Because we were talking about this before you got on. I'm like, the thing about bowling alleys is they serve the Budweiser and Miller crowd. Like, that's...
They
you
do.
You don't get a good beer at my bowling alley.
But you have to remember, though, Jeff, those people don't exist here.
True Americans?
In D.C., there's no, like... Like the industrial working class people who like to go to those places don't live here.
There's no
farmer. There's no like.
Do they have bowling alleys in DC? Is that a thing?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. There's one down the street from my office called Lucky Strike. They do really fancy stuff though.
Do they have beer. Lucky Strike cigarettes?
You say they do child care?
You drop your kid off. All right, so
you drop your kids and you pick them up like it's like a coat check.
So Jeff probably doesn't know because I don't think he's ever been to Atlantic City, but I assume Earl you've been to AC.
I have not actually.
Really? Okay.
Don't go,
Tony. You've been there though.
I've been a lot. Yeah.
So there used to be this casino called the Showboat down the end of the.
On the very end.
Yeah. It's like it was right next to the Taj Mahal. And in it they had a like it was like a 100-lane bowling alley. And the one time my parents took us down there, they dropped me and my brother off at the bowling alley. They went and gambled. So, yeah, bowling alley's child care. Jeff.
I would go to Atlantic City. I've never been up the whole region. The only thing I've ever been to is Boston, and that was for PAX. And don't think I would go to Boston again. It's cool to see, I guess, but
you there's more to Boston than what you saw.
Yeah, I didn't really get to see.
Yeah, you didn't get the cool stuff. All you got was the hotel conference area.
I mean, walked around and stuff, but yeah, it was like kind of like the south end, and the one restaurant we went to was kind of in Boston proper, wasn't it? I don't remember.
It was in the harbor, so it's right. We went to Legal Seafood that was it was on the harbor, and it's right next to the aquarium. I actually just ate there again when I was up recently. It wasn't
hilarious.
It wasn't in dark.
There's a part of me that looks back and is like, Tony, you were in Boston. Of all the restaurants you could have gone to, you went to Legal Seafood.
That was not our choice. Like that. No, it wasn't. That was Walt's choice.
Oh wow, you call him a Paul.
Why is this a bad? Is this a bad? Was that a bad choice?
It's a chain restaurant.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So if you're going to a place like Boston, you should go to like a nice local restaurant. And we went to Legal Seafood.
We went to a seafood restaurant, okay?
It was a different Legal Seafood, yes. I think we were trying to go somewhere else, but they couldn't get us in, and so we ended up at this other Legal Seafood, which was
this is why when Earl was in DC, Earl, we didn't go to we went to a local brewery because you go to like a local place and.
Actually, the first place that Earl met us for drinks, I think that was a it was like a it was just like a little Boston bar.
Yeah, and I thought that was really a nice.
better than the Legal Seafood, but
so difficult now because I have a friend coming into town in a few weeks, and I'm like just trying to figure out like perfect place to take them. So I'm like, oh, you don't want to take them somewhere? Going to take them somewhere that's very distinct, but also like that they will. Joy, and I'm just like driving myself nuts. I'm like, oh no, this would be good, but oh, this isn't good enough. So it's like there's a lot of pressure to make sure you get it right. Like it's not like, you know, it's not gonna take the like Pizza Hut or something that you can get anywhere. So yeah,
it's like, you know, if people come to like Chicago, they'll often come and like go to like Portillo's or Giordano's. Yeah. It's like, yeah, those things are kind of representative of Chicago, but they're like, I mean, Portillo's is great. I actually have Portillo's here and I eat it all the time, but it's like, it's not like you want like this, the secret local, like,
right. If you know, that's the thing. Like if you know somebody who lives in that place, that's why you have that person pick the place for you, because you're like, I don't know. Like I was in Chicago once and I went to Giordano's because I don't know anything.
Yeah, and it's like that's like, you know, I guess that's something you probably wouldn't get somewhere else. I guess I don't know, but like
I will also say yes, I will say that you don't get it anywhere else. And I would say do it once, because like if I go places like I will try like I've gone to like California and I've had In-N-Out, and I've gone to like Texas and have Whataburger. I'm like, yeah, it's good to do. Like, it's not gonna be every meal I have.
Yeah,
but it's really good to do it like once to be like, oh, okay, you know what? I
like if you're in Philly and you go to Geno's, like,
yeah, I mean, I would like, I think,
like, literally, Chris would be like, I would not go there, but
not, no, like, I mean, you can get a better cheesesteak at any pizza place in the city.
Yeah.
But yeah,
like those two big places or whatever, like
Pat's and Geno's are right across the street from each other. Like they're in any time they have a sporting event, they always show them, and it's a
you're paying for the name more than anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Because like it's usually long lines because that's where all the tourists go. And it's like over expensive and it's so food. But it's like it's still very much like something I recommend doing at least once to kind of get a feel.
It's
I think I went to Gino's at like 10:30 p.m. on a Tuesday. There was no one there.
That checks out. Like, if there's not a event going on in the city, like, you'll like people will hit it up after like a Flyers game or a Sixers game or something like that. Or on the weekends, you know, when tourists come in, it gets busy. But yeah, when you were there, like in the, it was probably, you just roll up,
yeah,
get your okay cheesesteak.
I can't stress this enough, though. If you come to Chicago, like I don't know, I really hate how everyone thinks Chicago pizza is that deep dish. That's like,
that's Uno's, I guess, maybe fault. That's.
It's what?
It's Uno Bar and Grill's fault.
Yeah, it's like, I guess maybe that's a thing that is not outside of Chicago as much, but it's like, that's not a Chicago, like a Chicago pizza. I've showed you guys a million times. It's like a thin crust pizza that's cut into squares. Like, that's, and you can get that anywhere, and you can get the, you know, and they're better than you would get at some place like, you know, Uno's or I was gonna say McDonald's or Giordano's.
I don't know. You can get pizza at McDonald's in Chicago. That's interesting.
On the flip side of that, though, when it comes to the hot dog category, it's like I always tell people to go to Gene and Jude's or Superdog, but those are not like representative of the classic Chicago dog. Like Portillo's actually has a pretty good, like, this is what a Chicago dog is. It's just not as good as these secret places. You know, it's like these secret places do something different. They're just better. Anyways, I don't know. What the fuck are we talking about? We should start like a food and travel podcast.
I mean, don't we already have one? I feel like we're on it.
Half of our shows are that.
Food, travel, politics, current events.
I mean, to be fair, when we started this 13 years ago, that is what we started out as. Like it was kind of, we all brought whatever we wanted to talk about. It wasn't just games.
I thought we were super structured.
Never been that.
You mean I wasn't on the ball when I was shit-faced in my fucking one-bedroom apartment, basement apartment? Fucking. I would love to hear some of those fucking old episodes. Like, I must sound absolutely fucking insane.
What I should do
I mean, you should listen to the ones from, like, this past month.
I won't.
What I should do is put them back on the, like, they're on the feed, like you could probably download them anyway, but just like a flashback episode, like just like throw it up on the feed.
I would probably listen to it in horror, like just afraid of what some like completely out of line thing that's gonna come out of my mouth.
That's gonna make Nintendo's gonna do a Metroid game this year.
I think what you would find is that
About how I want to fuck Lindsay Lohan or something.
That really probably. I mean, there was an episode that Fozzie did from like an elevator or something.
Yep.
I remember that.
Remember that too.
But I think if you were to go back and listen, it would probably be interesting because I mean, Fozzie and my politics have changed drastically since we started. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was a different time.
When we started the podcast, I had like one kid who was like 3 months old, and now I have two ancient kids that are giant. Like, life is completely different now.
yeah, very like, I remember. So I think at the time we started it, I was working. I had moved to part-time at my work because, like, just childcare was fucking ridiculous. So it was cheaper for me to actually only work half the time at my office. And I think I was off on Fridays. All I had to do was take my son or daughter to school. And you know, they're now in high school or graduating.
Right, I remember you talking about, like, going on like a walk and carrying your son the whole way. You probably couldn't do that now.
No, he is. I mean, no.
You could try.
I mean, you know. He is a, you know, he's like 135-pound wrestler. I'm not carrying any, I'm not carrying anything that's 135 pounds more than like 3 feet. And going, I'm tired now. I'm gonna sit down.
Yeah, when we started, I was in my 20s, which is insane to me to think about. Way more stamina, and I would get all excited about podcasting. On, I think we might have done it on Thursdays or Wednesdays back then, but I would get all excited about that night. Like, oh, I'm going to get fucking shit-faced. And then, like, even after we would be done with the show, like, I'd get on Tiny Chat. There's always people on Tiny Chat at that time.
You know, up until drinking, like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, drinking till like 4 in the morning. Like, fucking, like, what were, like, at least you guys had kids and shit. But I was like, what were we all doing with our lives at that that we stay up till fucking 4 in the morning drinking?
I don't know, Jeff. I don't know.
Yes, I didn't do that, but you know, I heard about it.
It was a thing. It really was. It was good times, actually. Tai Chi was very fun.
And like I was on some other podcasts, and that's actually where I met Earl about that same time.
Yeah.
So
Earl was not staying up until 4 a.m. getting drunk on Tai Chi, though.
No, that's
Earl was a baby then.
Earl's still a baby. I'm not that much younger than you folks.
Anyone, how old are you?
37.
Okay, you're good.
Yeah, I mean, we're all over mid-30s at this point.
Well, yeah, so. once you hit that 35 mark, I mean...
I was going to say, if you're under 35, you're a baby.
Yes. I pissed off some friends today. Because the Top Gun reviews came out today, and I was like, it's getting better reviews than I anticipated.
Yeah,
and
for
I
sure.
was just like, I mean, I was very much in the boat of like, I don't know what this movie, why this movie exists. And I just said off energy that there's people in here who are older than, like the movie's old enough that like, there's people who are younger than it. And I didn't realize like it was, for some reason, I always thought it was like an 80s movie. It's like 86.
Yeah.
So it is not much older than it. I'm like, it's insane. That is 36 years ago. Wow.
Crazy thing. I've never seen it.
You've really
never seen the original Top Gun?
Never seen it. No, I mean, I've seen clips of it on TV. And, you know, in college, people would watch it sometimes. But, like...
And you've probably seen a parody to hell because...
I you know, like, the, when I think of Top Gun... I gotta see it because I want to see this new one. Like, I really do, especially based on the reviews. But it's like, you know, the Top Gun in my head is dudes playing volleyball and then, like, Tom Cruise on a motorcycle with some hot chick. And, like, that's all that's, that.
Okay,
like,
yeah, you need to watch a little bit more of it.
You've seen it. But honestly, because I was thinking about that the other day because I'm like, I honestly don't remember much of the actual movie.
I don't get what it could be because I look at the synopsis and like I understand like I went into this on Twitter the other night with some people like to me it's like not appealing it doesn't sound like something I want to watch because it's people going to flight school and I'm like okay but that's just like training I don't want to watch a movie of training I want to see you killing people like do they like at some point have to kill
that's the yes. climax yes. of the movie. Yes.
So they do. There is like killing,
and yeah. it's not like it's like the Navy SEALs of pilots. Like it's like really intense, amazing.
Yeah, thing. I get that. These guys are like the cool dudes, but like yeah. I thought it was just all them in school, and then it's like Tom Cruise and this other guy in love with each other or something. Like
Iceman and Maverick. Thank you very much.
Isn't there a Goose?
Goose is his co-pilot. Yes. And he dies.
So who does Tom Cruise love?
Earl was referring to Val Kilmer, Iceman.
Yes.
He does not love him.
He loves Val.
I mean, they're rivals in the movie.
Wink, wink.
I mean, yes. There is. It is very...
the bottom.
It was the 80s. You couldn't be too overt about it.
I need to see it. Because like the reviews I've looked at of this new one are like it's kind of almost like a send off of Tom Cruise, like, and just kind of a tribute to the kind of like action movies he makes and stuff. And I'm like, yes, dude, you know, I'm all about that.
I mean, it's also weird, like, because without this franchise, Tom Cruise would not be Tom Cruise.
Like made him, well, you know, he was like a star by that point, but like it really made him.
Was he? Because he had done
Yeah,
Risky Business at this point,
risky
no?
business. I think he
Oh, he had
might
done
have done Color of Money by that point.
Did he do
Yeah.
Days of Thunder by now?
No, Days
No.
of Thunder was after this. I think it was 80, 90, 91 maybe.
Yeah, it's like right around there. And then he did right around there too, Born on 4th of July, which I did see when it came out, and I was like, man, Tom Cruise is the best actor alive.
It's so weird too when you think about it, because like for the longest time he kind of avoided, I want to say avoided action movies.
So
Not
yeah,
really, but like
he had a rule like that he wouldn't do sequels, he wouldn't do films with guns. So basically, he didn't want to be an action. He didn't want to get typecast as like an action star.
he's actually kind of a smart, I don't know, he's smart about how the projects he picks, I think.
Yeah, if
Yeah,
you look at
like
his
to this
whole
day.
resume now,
But
especially
yeah,
being
now
a
it's like just action, which that's the problem. Like I love Tom Cruise, but like he would do like a little bit back in the day, he would do action, but then you'd see him in something like Collateral, and you're just like, damn, dude, like he would like remind you that he was an actor too. And now it's just action.
I
Like
think for him it was really like he would do those films, right? And like he was great in like A Few Good Men and
oh, I
Jerry
love that too, yeah.
Maguire, and like he was chasing an Oscar. And I think like Collateral might have been like the last
Yeah,
straw
maybe.
for him. And then like he did like Lions for Lambs, like which isn't great, but it's like where he plays a senator. But that was like it. And then he kind of just got into that action, like, you know what? They're not gonna give it to me. I'm gonna become the last movie star.
But it's cool, like even if that's just what he's doing now, it's like he like runs it and he's like, I'm making the gold, like I'm the gold standard of what action movies can be. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like he really does, like he has like control of his projects and they always come out like amazing. Like the last few Mission Impossibles are fucking, I guess there's the Mummy, but other than that, he's pretty protective of what he does, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like I like those Jack Reacher movies. I know evidently people that read those books think they're awful because Tom Cruise is like 4'4".
Yeah.
But
And he's supposed to be like this giant.
yeah, I think he did great in those. He does really good stuff that's entertaining, so.
Yeah, see, I want to see it, but I feel like I need to know the story
I think
of
you
what
do need to watch Top Gun, because
her name.
this is a, it's a direct continuation 40 years later, but it's also the guy Miles Teller plays is Goose's kid. So his co-pilot who dies in the movie, spoiler for a 40-year-old film, Goose dies from Maverick making a mistake. And being a hotshot, and he gets his friend killed, and
I was
Miles.
just saying, Maverick is Tom Cruise.
Yes. And Miles Teller's character is Goose's son, and like there's animosity there because he never knew his dad. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's gonna be fun.
When is that? This
A
month?
Memorial
Memorial
Day
Day.
weekend, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'm gonna. That might be the next movie I see in theaters. I'm gonna make it happen. I looked up today. I think I saw original Top Gun is on Netflix. So
On Netflix, yeah.
yeah, I need to
I'm gonna
get it.
try to watch it over the weekend. I mean, I've seen it several times. Like I said, I just don't really remember much of the plot.
I mean, there's not much. Speaking of movies, and holidays coming up, we should do another one of those film watches. And I'm thinking maybe for our 4th of July weekend episode.
Oh boy, I know what's going
Ooh.
I don't. We need a movie to watch. But there's plenty of video game movies for us to go at. So, it worked pretty good last time. Jeff missed out
Did
on that, but.
I was gonna say, I mean, depending on how new Uncharted would, I mean, I don't know if Uncharted would be up streaming yet. Monster Hunter, We could do the new Resident Evil TV show.
That is middle of July, I think.
Okay.
I mean, there's lots of stuff out there.
I think I've said this before. I really wish I could watch the Super Mario Brothers movie somewhere, because I haven't seen that since it came out.
I mean, it's nice for you to watch it. I don't know. You didn't say Eagle Eater, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's like.
Is it not streaming anywhere?
I don't think so. No.
It's not. I feel like it's one of those things Nintendo has kind of done away with, because it's not available on anything. Like, you can't even buy it.
It feels like something that should be on Tubi, you know? But it's not.
We could do the Tekken movie.
Oh, God. The Street Fighter movie.
I'm getting a beer.
The one with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Oh, yeah. We could do the terrible one.
There's like a cartoon one too, right, Earl?
Oh, there's also a live-action kind of sequel with Kristen Kronk.
Oh, really?
And Chris Klein. It's so bad. His act is awful. It also has McDunnin as Bison. And you just realize like how much charisma Raul Julia brought to that role. There's a ton of to pick from.
Yeah. Well, The Legend of Chun-Li, is that the one?
Yeah, I think it's on Tubi now, but again, that's two months from now. Who knows what it will be on then?
Yeah. Well, we'll pick something. And
I mean, you know what? We got plenty of time because there's no video games this year, so we got to make do somehow.
This is 100% true. Video games were canceled this week.
That's true.
I said it before. Elden Ring was the series finale. Like, that's it. Like, it's a wrap.
We don't need more games. It's done. Games have done.
I mean, Jeff did say Elden Ring was the end game, right? Like, it was the only game he needed.
It was the culmination of all video games, and it's over now.
Yeah, Starfield and Redfall were delayed by Bethesda today. Leaving Microsoft with nothing. Announced games for this year. And it's not looking great, like, AAA-wise the rest of the way.
I said this earlier. I was giving Nintendo shit about their lineup, and kind of jokingly saying, like, Switch is a dead system now. But if you look at it, it's like Nintendo has
a lineup.
A lineup, you know, it may not be the games that I want, but it's like they have
games.
Releases yes. coming out, and like some of them are like pretty meaty games. Yeah. Like Xenoblade is a big game. That Monster Hunter expansion is like a, you know, you'll be able to sink probably 60-70 hours into that. I bet.
And if you're a Splatoon player, that'll. I'm sure that's going to, like, I'm not, but that's
like,
something people will jump into.
I like Splatoon, but, you know, the amount of multiplayer I get out of that, it's not, you know, I'll play it for a couple weeks, you know what I mean? Like, right. I'll play the campaign, and I'll be super into the multiplayer for a couple weeks, and then usually I'll just move on to whatever the next game is that's coming out. But I guess maybe that will be the last game that comes out this year. I don't know. Really seems that way.
But yeah, I mean, if Pokemon was the last game that comes out this year.
That's right. There are Pokemon games coming, so we're
fine. There's no way I'm buying another. Like, the art was Arceus. Arceus, I don't even know how to say it.
Arceus.
That was good. That was good. It was very good. It was different for them.
Yeah. And
but
the,
like,
these,
I'm good.
The ones coming out this year in the other style.
Yeah, I'm good on them. You know, Starfield. I was starting to get really like hyped for. I really was. I was like, you know, a new one of those, like a new.
Now this is where I get confused. What has there been to get hyped for? We've literally seen nothing.
Just knowing, you know, it's going to be another Skyrim Fallout.
I mean,
you
okay,
know.
But do we even know it is one of those games? Like, we have literally seen nothing.
I mean,
yeah, it's one of those games that's being carried a lot by the people behind it more than it is from anything people have seen. Because to your point, I mean, let's call a spade a spade, because I mean, when this came up, I told Chris we're gonna have to, because we've had this conversation the last 2 weeks on the show, that there's nothing from Microsoft or Sony this year, and this is only exacerbating that issue, where like, and it's funny because I share this with a bunch of people, and some people were like, I feel bad for, a lot of people was like, it's Redfall. But yeah, then people were like, we've not seen or heard of since last year. And even last year was more of a...
was a CG was more, trailer, wasn't it?
Yes.
Just kind of like a foundation of what... I honestly didn't even realize it was scheduled for this year.
Yeah.
Because that just seemed like a proof of concept. Like, we're making a hero shooter with vampires.
Okay, that's what I was thinking it was. Yeah, I remember seeing that. I think it was no. I remember it saying it was supposed to be this summer. It was supposed to come out like sometime this summer.
I never believed that.
Never heard anything again.
Yeah, because we just hadn't heard of it. Starfield though, when they dated that,
like they dated like a specific date. Yeah.
Yeah, like they're gonna hit this, and they like almost you have like they have to hit this like.
And I fell for it again because I'm like, they'll just release it buggy. Like, they've never released a not buggy game, exactly. So it'll be out.
I think the problem was, and I read this in a couple places, they were starting to compare it to Cyberpunk in terms of, like,
how buggy
hitting the date and how buggy it would be.
That would be bad.
That's been a disaster.
Yeah. And, I mean, nobody wants that, and I'm glad that, like, you know, they're going to take time and make sure
it'll still be buggy when it comes out. Like,
it will be, but like it won't be to the point where you're like, I shouldn't play this.
I will say, like, I've never had a problem with their games being buggy. Like, I will run into bugs and stuff, but I always like really enjoy their games.
Yeah, their bugs are always like almost charming.
Yeah, like,
oh, look, the knife is stuck in the guy's head.
And so, you almost have to expect it with the size of the games that they do, like shit's gonna go weird. But yeah, if it was Cyberpunk levels of broken,
right? Like literally, you have issues; you can't play the game because it's so buggy. Like that's
I never had those with Cyberpunk.
Well, I think there were more fundamental issues with Cyberpunk.
I liked it, dude. Like, part of me wants to play that again because it's supposedly, you know, like they did the next gen update and
they
have all this.
Next gen update yet.
They did. I think so. Yeah.
Maybe.
Right? Someone? Anybody?
No, I don't. You're asking the wrong people. Don't pay attention to video games.
They made it playable.
I think they pushed the update, though. Maybe I'm thinking of Witcher. Maybe they pushed
They did push that. I know that. Next gen update. Let's see.
I thought that. I liked Cyberpunk when it came out, huh?
You're right, Jeff.
Yeah.
The next gen update hit in February.
Yeah, because I seem to remember it was right around time. You're right.
Wait, this
right
February? Like when all the games that are coming out for the year.
Which is probably why we kind of forgot it. Like,
I remember people saying like, "Wow, this game is like you really need to check this out now." And I think you know the big reason I didn't is because. You know, Elden Ring was out, but the other thing is, like, I like Cyberpunk a lot, but like, it's very cutscene and story heavy, especially like getting the game going the first couple of hours. You got to sit through a lot of shit like that, and I'm like, Although I, you know what? Now that I think about it, I remember someone saying, "Oh, they let you just get into just doing whatever you want a lot quicker now." They've like changed the game a bit. So maybe I should, because I did enjoy that game. Like it is one of those types of games, you know, very much like a Fallout style game. And there was cool shit in it. Like there really was. Like I really did like it. You guys own it. You should try it sometime, right?
Don't you?
You guys
I'll play it.
I should try it.
I got it
sometime,
for $10 at some point. So.
When you're in the mood for an RPG, there you go. Like it's
because you bought it and never returned
it.
Right?
This year too. Yeah, I bought it for $60. I returned it and used the credit for that to get Hitman 3, which was actually playable at launch. And then I picked up Cyberpunk at some point, like a collector's edition for like $10 from Best Buy. so I have it. I may have to pop that in at some point. Like, I there's nothing coming out. So.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, it's I'm telling you guys, it's a pretty cool game. Like,
so Earl, did you have a list of what is coming out?
I had a tentative list in my head. I went through Wikipedia today. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. that's not exhaustive, but it does kind of give you an idea. I think honestly, the scary part is. I mean, I think the only thing that we have right now for Sony's first party is God of War Ragnarok. I could be wrong.
I think that's it.
Is that like on the usually like what happens in these years like what happened with years like this is you'd have third parties to make up for it, but because third parties have been consolidating their brands to begin with, there's not a ton of games announced right now. Like, I could be mistaken. I don't even think this is an Assassin's Creed year. Or is it?
They don't normally announce those till like the summer, right? I don't. I feel like it's early. Like they've leaked accidentally a couple times.
Yeah, Schreier normally leaks them, but
I feel like we would hear rumors of it by now that this year's Assassin's Creed. But okay, so we'll leave Assassin's Creed as a asterisk then. The Saints Row remake is out this year.
August.
That is just August. We just got first gameplay of Gotham Knights, which started in October. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which we had the discussion about, was announced.
Modern Warfare 2?
Yes, yeah, Modern Warfare 2, sorry. Well, Modern Warfare 2, 3. 2, two. Or...
2 again?
And then I would say Sonic Frontier, which is Jeff's second game of the year.
Yep.
And then I was going to bank on anything else. Like there's the Ghostbusters game and there's the Evil Dead game, but I think those are smaller titles.
Yeah, that Evil Dead game is out. Stalker 2, I believe, was pushed till 2023 as well.
Was it?
I believe so.
It is December 8th, but I believe you.
I think this one will do well, but Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from the brand and who it represents, the game itself actually looks really interesting. I want to add this on the list, but again, it's one of those games that was announced and we've seen nothing of it since then. Midnight Suns.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the X-Men. Marvel,
yeah.
Strategy game, right?
Which is announced last year sometime, I believe. I don't know.
Yeah, that. It was. It was supposed to be out already, and it has not.
Yeah, and we've not seen any update on it. So, but yeah, I think. I mean, again, like I said, I think those are kind of like the major. That's like what 5 or 6 games.
Oh, ton.
Yeah, from third parties. Yep, that seems.
And that is for it. The next. That is the next. 7.5 months.
Forspoken is dated for October 11th. That's the Square's big fall game.
Okay.
Hey, I guess you guys will get to play Elden Ring.
Well, no, there's going to be some other games coming out.
I'll do anything.
There are plenty of strategy games coming. Like Victoria 3 is coming.
I mean.
They're going to release the new Advance Wars game.
At some point, if that one you could have. I think it's like any year, there's going to be enough. Like, you know, there's a bunch of, I mean, like, when I say major, I'm talking like the AAA titles and stuff. But like, there'll be a ton of indie games on the gap. You know, like, this is all third parties at Microsoft and Sony. We've mentioned Nintendo. They got Mario Strikers. They got Xenoblade, Splatoon. Pokemon, Bayonetta 3 is supposed to be this year. Like Tony said, Advance War, whenever that drops.
Bayonetta 3, you just said that.
Huh. Yeah. For me, you know, I keep on saying that Ninja Turtles game, even if that's just a long weekend, that's like a ton of fun.
The Quarry.
The Quarry. I don't consider it a massive game, but I'm looking forward to that.
Come on, Madden, NBA 2K,
NHL.
Yeah,
not, not,
Let's not forget
FIFA.
EA Football Club.
Which will be the same game. People are going to buy it.
Is that Lord of the Rings? Was it Golem?
Is that this year?
Is that I don't know. We haven't seen anything from it since they announced it. Like a lot of these games are like announcing, and then we haven't seen anything.
And then you got those. Then you got those weird things like you got Multiversal and Lego Brawls, kind of like those cartoony Smash Brothers S-Clones. So there are, like, I mean, again, it's not like, oh my gosh, there's not going to be games coming out. It's just that, like, on paper, you get the, like, you look at it and it's like, it's a very barren year. Like, if I'm a retail partner right now, I am fucking down for a very rough year. I mean, it's hard enough to find consoles in stock, and then there aren't necessarily those major games that drive people to go there. Like, yes, you have Call of Duty, Madden, NBA 2K.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it.
Yeah, it's not good.
I would have said Gotham Knight before they showed us the game, so.
Yeah, that was not what people were expecting, I think.
I think we were expecting Arkham.
Yes, I read that in a number of places where people were looking for the next Arkham game, and this is not.
Is it made by the people that made Arkham?
It's made by the people who made Arkham Origins.
Oh.
Which is also weird, because to me that has the best combat in the franchise. But
yeah, I is it a live service game? Is that what I was getting?
No, I don't think so.
Not a live service game.
It's a two-player co-op game.
Weird.
Like Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League is a live service game.
How weird.
I honestly don't know, but yeah, that was rough. That was like, oh no, no, sweetie, no.
I mean, I guess we'll find out in June if Microsoft has anything.
That was the other thing somebody mentioned. Is like, I would imagine that Starfield and Redfall mm-hmm. were probably big parts of their presentation. I assume they still are, because I think they were just delayed to show Springs, which would still be between before next year's whatever E3, not E3, will be called. But it still kind of sucks that like, the two games you're going to talk about as like, what do they have this year? And it honestly does not sound like they have anything, because I think Peter was on, not Peter, what is his name?
Phil?
Phil. Was on Xbox. Was on Twitter. Like, yeah, you know, we got to do better in the future. Yep. Like, it's good to give people the time, but we got to do better.
We got to do better about getting our releases in order and getting stuff out to the people that have Xboxes. Like, can't keep selling these boxes and not have stuff that people want to play on them. Not that there isn't stuff that we want to play on them, but.
There is, but again, and even last year, they got away with a lot of that stuff by having games, like big games like, Rainbow Six Extraction, Dark Alliance, what was the other one? The three-player co-op game, like Outriders. Like, those were day one Game Pass games. So it's like, oh, I got the system, I have Game Pass, I'm getting these big titles up and center. But you don't have that this year because you're not getting Call of Duty. You're not getting Madden day one.
I might be getting Call of Duty this year. Fuck.
No, well, I mean, on Game Pass.
I know. I'm just,
You're going to get it because there's nothing to play.
I'm fucking dying over here. I
wonder if they try to make a deal for like Gotham Knights or something like that.
But. Did that game really look bad? I didn't watch it.
Okay, I'm not gonna say it's unplayable. I'm gonna buy it. It just looks very stilted, and especially coming off the Arkham games, where it's like Batman's stiff, but he's stiff in a deliberate way, where it really makes the combat feel and have impact. Where this just looks really weird. I think the thing that broke a lot of people right off the gate was when Jason Todd, the Red Hood, was what is it, spirit jumping?
Flying.
He was spirit dumping. Thank you very much. So he's using the energy that he used to resurrect himself as a way to throw it in the air with these magical gems. And I'm like, oh, that's what he's doing. Okay.
Could have been exactly what we needed in these games. I knew that I wanted, you know, flying Batman. I missed that.
That, and I think the other thing is they brought back vehicles, which was not
which was the worst part of
Arkham Knight.
Yeah. Oh well, I guess we will find out in about a month what's coming.
Or we're gonna have to become
maybe
we're gonna become a movie and TV show.
Damn. Because
we can talk about Civil War board games, guys.
We could talk about Master Chief getting his dick wet.
You know what's so weird is like
I haven't seen that episode yet. So.
The pandemic like fucked everything up in terms of stuff coming out, but it's like it feels like that resulted in right now like too much TV to watch. Like there's way like. There's a lot of good shows coming out, like, and it's way more than there ever was at the same time.
Yeah,
well, I think part of
but then on the video game front, it's still affecting video games.
I am sick of the excuse. Like,
yeah, okay, yeah, there's that too.
It's fine, like, 2020, 2021. Okay, it's been 3 years. The rest of us have all had to like alter our lives massively. You can't figure this out now.
Yeah,
like where are the games that were supposed to be out in 2020 that we still don't have?
I mean, a lot of things. Yeah, just feel like an excuse at this point.
I don't want to use excuse. I think the biggest issue really is that I don't think anybody scaled down the type of games they were making to make it something that makes more sense to do.
Right.
Because it's like, yeah, like these games are still. These massive in scope, so you need all like you. Like, I mean, like you work for in general, like you look at something like Assassin's Creed, which has you know like Ubisoft Montreal and Ubisoft Paris and all these other teams on it. So it's always, but it's like yeah, like you never scaled it back down to the fact that, like okay, people are working remotely. Maybe instead of doing one large game, we'll work on like three smaller games during this time.
Right. And, I mean, maybe you start like reimagining, like you go back to maybe ideas that didn't work pre-pandemic, like episodic games. I'd be like, maybe this is a better model now. Like,
give people something bite-sized to play with.
Right, and then like, okay, and we'll give you more later. Because that's what you're capable of producing. Like, I can't make a huge game. Can I make a sixth of a game? And like that kind of thing. Like, rethinking your operations somehow in order to produce something, because right now we're getting nothing.
I just don't get, again, going back to like my comparison, it's like I think a lot of like movie and TV releases were held off because of the pandemic and shit, but like all this TV that's coming out now, it was all like you had to like get together and shoot it in person and all this, and now there's a ton of it coming out. Like again, I cannot keep up with the amount of like decent TV shows coming out. It's
I would also add that during the pandemic, we also, I mean, like when you think about it, HBO Max launched not too soon before the pandemic, Peacock launched during the pandemic, Paramount Plus launched during. So you have like these big services. So Apple TV was like a thing before then, but that kind of, you know, like, that took off really during the pandemic. So you also have that where there's a lot more competing avenues, but it's also just slightly easier for people to make shows because like you can have some control over, you know, like you don't have as many people on sets. If you're not shooting, everybody has on masks. You can keep a distance. I mean, that's in general, keep a distance because it's usually
that's what I'm saying though. When you're doing a TV production, it's like people have to be there. Like people have to be in front of the camera. People have to be behind the camera. Like with video games, you could probably conceivably do more of it remotely, and it's still just like we can't get it done, guys.
The problem
because these people are sitting at home smoking fucking weed instead of fucking making the goddamn video game.
I don't want to get into that because I think we're still going through a pandemic. I think people should have the rights to do it at their own pace. I think the issue again is really that nobody ever was like, okay, you know what? Like, our work is going to be like 75%. Let's make a game that's like half of what we used to make. Like, instead of making this like 70-hour open world game, let's make a 30-hour open world game that's like half the size of that. We don't need to like fill in every detail. We don't need to like make this blade of grass like shine in the light. Because in the real world, who cares what grass looks like?
And the Jeff, the difference in you know the vi making movies and TV shows and this is they're working from home. Like, I mean, Earl,
Yeah, they're
you did
sitting
a
there
bunch of
smoking
it,
weed.
yes, but it's different for like people that do office work that like work with spreadsheets and emails and stuff. Those files are very small, like
Yes.
comparatively, like when. If you follow anything doing with animation or rendering, like being connected to the actual server, it takes hours and hours to do the work from your desk, just to like get like 1 second of animation. So now they're trying to do that from their shitty home connection. And it's probably not shitty, like we probably all have pretty good connections, but you're trying to do this render work on hardware that's not as strong as what you had at the office, on internet connections that aren't don't have the bandwidth capable of doing it. It just ends up taking longer. And I think Earl and Tony are right. Like, they should have pared some of this shit down.
Everyone needs to get back to work, start doing their fucking jobs.
Well, again, and I think the other thing is that I mean, this is a failure on many levels, and this isn't just to the video game industry, is that a lot of people, I mean, to this extent, we're still in that state, didn't know how long this is going on. So you don't know. It's like, do we need to pivot? Did we need to pivot? Or it's like, oh, this is only going to be a few months. We can get through this rough patch and then get to a point. I do think, to what Tony was saying earlier, is that I think that pivot should have happened sometime near the end of 2020, where it's like, okay, you know what, this has gone on for almost a year. Let's start thinking of like how, to Chris's point, if you have these massive games that need these huge data transfers and stuff like that, maybe you include the budget where it's like, oh, we're gonna help pay for our employees' internet to make sure they have speed that could transfer these files in great quantities and not take a hit. Or, we're gonna give them state-of-the-art PCs to take home or laptops or something like that. I don't know, but it does seem like it's not an issue that is gonna resolve itself anytime soon. Like, even after this year, I mean, not this year, because we've seen it impact this year. Like, next year, a lot of those games are gonna be stuff that was supposed to come out this year. That still means that the games that originally budgeted for like 2023 may miss that.
Wonderful. Well, give us our games, I think is
Right.
what Jeff's
Or
trying to
you
get
could give us games that don't work, and then we could complain about them.
Yeah.
I have one
Yeah,
of those.
yes.
I have a game like that.
Or again, I think this would have been a great opportunity to bring back those like A and AAA. I also think that at some point, and I saw somebody's, what is this, Gene Pack from the Washington
Dean
Post,
Parks.
is at some point, and I think this point passed years ago personally, is that the current bigger, better, shinier model is just unsustainable. Like, you
Yes.
can't. Like, again, like, it's stuff that, like, I forgot where I read it ages ago, but like when people complain, like, oh, this grass doesn't sway with the wind, it's like, who the hell cares? You don't pay attention to that in the real world. Nobody's sitting there in their front yard being like, oh, this grass, like, the HDR is off on it, like, why isn't it reflecting properly? You don't, so I don't know why it's a big thing in games. Like, oh, you see how that water glistens off the side of the mountaintop? I'm like, that's a great detail. Somebody probably worked way too hard for. And
Gotcha.
it, but like, it's like one of those things where it's like, is it good enough? Where it's like, You get to a point where it's like you're putting way too much detail in that, oh yeah, a handful of people are going to care about. The sad thing is those handful of people tend to be the most vocal because, like, heaven forbid a game looks decent and not, like, mind-blowingly amazing. Like, we've seen
Right.
decent-looking games where people are like, oh, this is like a PlayStation 2 title. I'm like, I don't know the last time you pulled out your PlayStation 2
Yeah.
card. It's like,
Right.
nothing on the market right now that looks like a PlayStation 2 title. So.
And it's like, I don't know. I think style always wins over.
Yeah,
Like
which is why
I
Nintendo's games
yeah.
look great. Because.
Exactly. Like even like indie games could look like amazing because it's style. It's not like, oh, we've rendered some amazing like photorealistic thing. Like I don't know why it just popped in my head, but like Sayonara Wild Hearts, like that's just cool looking game. Like and as you know, they're not trying to do anything that looks like real life. And when games do pull that shit off, it's like impressive to you for 5 minutes, and then like you're not even thinking about that after. Like
Yeah,
it's all
like,
about like, is the game good? Like,
and that's the problem is like so many people are because so many people are so intent on like they want to be part of the hype. Like, oh man, this game looks amazing. This game, like, again, like, like what Tony was asking, like, so many people are excited for Starfield. Why? Because we've seen CG Troy, we've seen one CG Troy of it a year ago, and people are like, oh, this is my most anticipated game of the year. I'm like, you don't know how it plays, you don't know how it works, but it looks pretty in CG, so it gets promoted.
well, for that game, I'm assuming it's just another Fallout and Skyrim type game. So that's what gets me excited about it. Like, like
Yeah,
I don't expect it to look amazing or play
that's
perfectly.
what that part of Bethesda makes. Like
Yeah,
they
like
make big
it's
open
gotta be.
world.
Yeah.
And it looks like, this as adding like a spaceship and
Yeah.
traveling to different planets. So maybe like what was that game that Obsidian in Outer Worlds? So like maybe like a big blown out, more realistic version of that.
Where is that? There's a sequel to that, right? Coming?
Who knows?
There
Because
is
Obsidian's
a
working
sequel,
on
but
I'm scraping the fucking bottom of the pipe here looking for something like
Obsidian's working on like a different, they're working on Avowed, which is
Oh
also like that's a fantasy, that's kind of like an Elder Scrolls
yeah.
type version of
I'm
that.
in, yeah.
So that'll come out before whatever Outer Worlds 2 is. So like
Neither of
there's
them this year.
no chance. Maybe Forza Motorsport, the reboot of that, like that's it. Like I don't know what else they could have on tap. Evidently, they're making a Mandalorian game. Did you hear that?
I
You knew they were making an
Shocker.
Indiana Jones game, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, which we've
So,
also not seen.
yeah, no, nothing since that announcement 2 years ago.
The James Bond game, we've seen nothing else.
Yeah,
Oh yeah, that too.
but Bethesda's evidently also making a Mandalorian game. Who knows what that is? Who knows which of their studios is working on that? But anyway, Tony, you said you had a game that was broken.
It's broken. So you guys know I love the Total War series. It's
No, never heard
awesome.
of it.
It's fantastic. It's like an old friend. Total War Warhammer 3 is like if that old friend took up drinking really hard and that maybe had a drug problem
Okay, so
because
it's Jeff.
it loses dependability. You don't know when it's going to show up. Like it's the same game.
It
That's close to home here.
It calls out for work randomly. It yells at people over like desserts that they've ordered at the drive-through. Like it's like I don't
Get
know
me started on fucking Blizzard. All right, never mind. Don't get me started on it. I'm getting still mad about that. Fucking tell me what a fucking Blizzard is, you fucker.
You already started on it. But so I've been trying like I played a bunch of Warhammer 3 and then I kind of fell off. Because it got hard, and I don't really know why it got hard. I know now that I've seen like the patch notes, which was that the faction that I was playing as was really poorly balanced and not good.
Oh.
So, like, I was fighting battles where I outnumbered my opponent 2-1, and I was somehow losing. And I'm like, why am I losing? There's no reason. Like, I've been playing these games for years, and I'm using tactics I've used. Why aren't they working now? And it's just because the units all suck, apparently, compared to the other factions' units. But, like, so I started playing as a new faction, and now I'm having the opposite problem.
It's too easy now.
Now it's too easy, because my units are all like demons, and they're just like running right over top of the enemy units really, really super easily. But it's not just that. Like, the game has like massive technical issues. Like, for instance, I was playing a campaign on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I tried to boot up my campaign, and the game didn't work anymore. And I had to like re-verify all of the files and like reinstall the entire game. And apparently this is an issue going across, like, it's been affecting a lot of people. Like, the game is just like falling apart as you play it, which is not a good sign.
No.
But there's other things, like when they launched Total War Warhammer 2, they launched with this really specific story-based campaign, and then they came out with this other campaign called the Mortal Empires campaign, which was really fun, really awesome, and it came out about a month after the game launched. And that was how I played the game, because it was just more enjoyable. You had access to more factions, you could do more stuff, and it was like more freeform and fun. They announced that for Total War Warhammer 3. Hasn't come out yet. They showed off a roadmap for how they're going to develop things for this game, and now that campaign is coming out next year.
Oh, so they're taking the Halo Infinite approach.
They are. They launched the game before it was ready. From a technical standpoint, it wasn't finished. So they're still like patching it madly. There's not a ton of factions to play, which is annoying, because all of the factions that have been in the Warhammer series are in this game, but you can only play as 8 of them, as opposed to like the, at this point, is probably 30 separate factions, but you can only play as these particular 8. And until that other campaign, which I believe is called Immortal Empires, until that launches, you won't be able to play as any of these other factions.
Oh.
And like, there's not a whole lot of, like, these games have always been kept really fresh with like DLC and that kind of thing, and there's not a whole lot announced for this year. They're more focusing on actually finishing the game that they launched. It's kind of frustrating. Now, if I hadn't gotten this game on Game Pass, and so far I haven't spent a single dollar on it, I'd be incredibly disappointed. I kind of wish that they'd, and I guess this kind of speaks to some of the stuff that we've said earlier, like, they keep trying to make these games shinier and better and bigger than the predecessor, and they went too far, and they're like, we've done like the classic fantasy realm, now we're going to go into the realm of demons and magic, and we're going to make everything more awesome, and we're going to bring in every empire from the entire game, and we're going to make the biggest world that Total War has ever seen, and that kind of just all fell in on itself because it was just too ambitious. So I have a number of like half-started campaigns, but it's like the story campaign that came with the game itself is not that interesting. And I would love to have that freeform campaign where you're just out conquering stuff in classic Total War fashion. And it's not there, and it's not going to be there for another year.
A year out. Mm.
So.
Yeah, I guess we are definitely in the realm of games releasing maybe not ready for prime time.
Yeah. Like, it makes me sort of happy that they reached for Game Pass. They're like, this is a Game Pass game, because I don't feel like I wasted my money, or like, I don't feel like I have to wait,
right,
in order to actually enjoy it.
It's not a cyberpunk.
No, it's not. It's not quite on that level.
It sounds like an early access.
Yes, that's kind of how it feels. Yeah, I keep staring. There's one early access game that I played a ton of that I keep waiting to hit like actual release. Which I've mentioned in other times, Mountain Blade 2, mm-hmm. which I played a ton of in 2020, and I played a little bit of in 2021. I like, just hit that final release. Do it. Get out of early access. It has been 2 years, and I keep waiting. Finish. Finish, damn you.
Welcome to a Star Citizen. That game's right. been in early access for 8 years.
Except you can actually play Mountain Blade 2.
I mean, you can play Star Citizen.
You can still play a full campaign in Mountain Blade
2. That's true. You cannot do that. you can buy ships and fly them and have them blow up and
have to replace them.
Yeah, all that's there. But the actual campaign's still not out. I do get updates every month from them on Squadron 42, but still not out. Yeah, speaking of stuff that's not fully finished, Jeff played Last Spartan Standing last week in Halo. I played a little bit of I tried Last Spartan Standing this week. That mode's cool. I am terrible at it.
Yeah. It's definitely, I think, for people that are kind of good. Because you got to be good to get good in that. You know what I mean? Like, you got to, like, be able to, like, handle shit with, like, what is it? You start with, like, a pistol, right? Like,
you start off with the Magnum and the electric, like, the electric pistol.
Yeah.
And then once you get a kill, you upgrade and it replaces your Magnum with the Mangler, which is like that big six-shot brute gun. And I don't know what you get when you level up third time, because I've never gotten there. it's neat. It's a battle royale. You can call it what you want, but they drop you onto this... it's a big team battle map with 12 people, and you have 6 lives. And if you expend your 6 lives, you're out. And as I think once it gets to like 4 or 5 people, then the map starts to shrink. Like it becomes like what they call it, like a danger zone, Jeff, or something like that.
I don't even remember. I played like one match of this. So
if you stick around, like I actually watched somebody, you can quit you're done. I actually watched, to see, to learn how these people that are actually good at it win. And the matches don't take long. They're, 15, 20 minutes. As the group of people that are playing dwindles, the map starts to shrink, kind of forcing everybody into the middle, like a traditional battle royale. Except it's not random. It looks like it always shifts to the same spot, which does mean that, the strategies kind of become the same. You start seeing the same from the people that are winning, because I'm not there. It's not my strategy. But they know what they're doing at that point. It's neat. I don't know. I'm not a big like free-for-all type person. I prefer to play Team Slayer or the team objective modes. But it's neat. King of the Hill, you said they added that. That's a good team version of King of the Hill. They also added in a mode called Attrition, which is it's team deathmatch Slayer, but your team has a set amount of respawns. So it's not, you're not fighting to get to 50 kills to win. You are trying to eliminate their tickets and eliminate their entire team, which is, it's a neat. I still haven't seen the, outside of the big team battle map for Last Spartan Standing, I haven't seen the actual new map. Has not come up in the rotation at all.
Ridiculous, dude.
Which, I mean, it's not surprising, right? Because there's 10 maps. And if and I don't think it's probably not selected for everything, because like Oddball doesn't show up on certain maps. So if you're trying to play a certain type of mode, it may not show up. But I still don't know what it is outside of the videos. I don't know. I guess they added in, for their new battle pass, they added in a chance to earn enough currency to buy the next one, which is nice, I guess.
I always like that about Apex.
Yeah, it's nice that like you plop your $10 down, and then if you get through the battle pass, you have enough to buy the next one. And their battle passes are neat because they stay open. So they've moved on to whatever this new one is. I think it's called Lone Wolves, maybe, Jeff. Do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Heroes of Reach, I think, was the one originally, and now it's called Lone Wolves or something. You can actually switch between the two the two battle passes. You don't earn experience for both, so it's like whichever one you select is active, but you can earn on the old battle pass if you want.
Okay, I was wondering how they would handle that. That's an interesting way to take it.
Yeah, you just press, like, you know, you make whichever one you want active. That's the one you'll earn experience against when you play the game. They still need to fix that experience system. Like, the challenge system sucks. They need to tie it to your score somehow. Like every other game. Like, leave the challenges for extra experience, but you need to allow people to kind of rank up faster. Because it's slow and brutal if you're not using... I have a bunch of double XP built up, so I'm still able to earn, like, 2 in, like, a half hour or so. But otherwise, it's a rough slog, especially if you get really shitty challenges for the week. So that's Halo.
Just real quick, I did not put a ton of time into this, so I won't have a lot to say. But to that point, and I guess this is the thing, Knockout City's added a Battle Royale mode, or a Battle Royale S mode. It's still 3v3, which is interesting in its own sense. But it has, like, the whole, like, you know, as you continue, the circle gets smaller. Mm-hmm. And if you stay out too long, you get, you know, you damage, and one hit, like, once you get knocked out, you're out for that round, and then, like, each team has to win a round. But it had, like, it's so weird, because, like, this is the type of game that really benefits from that. It's, I mean, I guess it's a different way to do it. It's just really weird. But yeah, we played that on Monday, and I'm like, oh, I did not know this was a thing. I guess they added it recently. So yeah, that was a very interesting game to find the, again, not Battle Royale because it's 3v3, but it has kind of like the whole, you know, like the moving storm to make sure it kind of force everybody together. And like, if once you're eliminated, you're eliminated. It's not like you respawn. It's not a points game. It's whoever eliminates the other team first. And then I think it's like the best. I think it's the best out of three. It's the best out of three twice. So it's, you have to win two games to win a round, and you have to win two rounds to win the game.
Okay. So, okay, that makes sense.
Does it?
It does. Like, a match is, it's basically, it's like tennis, right? Like, so a match is three sets. Yeah. You have to win two of the sets to win. And then to win this thing, you have to win two of the three matches.
Yes.
So it's just, I mean, it seems complicated, but... Well, everybody's adding a battle royale, I guess.
Yeah, which, again, part of me is I'm okay with to the extent, like, you know, like we were saying, it's like, if you can't make new games, make, you know, like, make the best of the games you have. But, yeah, it's an interesting one.
We'll say the Last Spartan Standing mode, it works really well. Like, I think, like, they've adapted it to Halo very well. Much like the rest of the game, they need to move that mode and have other maps. though, because it's not like Apex where, or Fortnite, where it's this big map. It's, you know, a big team battle map is big, but it's not that. It's not like an Apex map or a Fortnite map or a Warzone map. It's a standard size map that's bigger. And when they have it the way it is, where the circle always ends up in the same spot, that's going to get boring real fast. So they need to adapt that to the other big team battle maps, of which I guess there are four now. Maybe five with the new one. They need to do something with that. But I think we've said that about Halo mostly this year. They need to do something with that game. And like Warhammer 3, they're struggling right now. But I played a little bit more Nobody Saves the World. I beat the first big dungeon, just like that castle. And then once you beat that, then you can start combining your powers, which is neat.
Yes, I didn't realize that. I looked at the castle. I just thought that was a level up thing.
It's either there or like once you beat the castle, you're supposed to go talk to a knight, and I think she's the one that tells you like, here's how you do these. It's neat because like you're taking like the rat can do poison, so you're taking that like the consume ability, attaching it to the knight, and then now the knight has that and the horse ability like to charge things, and it adds a level of customization I wasn't quite expecting. I was like, this is fun before that, but now being able to like mix and match the powers is pretty cool.
Yes, very much so. I think it's one of the better parts of the game. And like I said, as you get further into it, it does ask you to do it more. Mm-hmm. I forget if the first dungeon or not, where you get introduced to the aspect of like enemies having certain types that you need to use to break them before you can actually start attacking them properly.
Yep. That's that first big dungeon. You go in and they're like, oh, you have to use dark attacks to damage this first. So like that's pretty cool that like, you know, one, because then you're flipping the forms on the fly, so it's not just I'm going through as the rat or the knight or the turtle. Yeah. You're going through as different ones, and then once you can start mix and matching them, it's like that's even cooler, I think.
Yes, the one downside I think for me at least is you do get to a point. I think I said this last week, you have 8 wheels on the thing, but you do end up unlocking more than 8 forms, and there's no real easy way to transition from that. So
yeah, outside of what jumping into the actual menu and going through the map and picking what you want.
Yes.
That could be annoying. They should have done what they, I mean, you guys have played Ratchet and Clank, right? Like where you have the weapon wheel. And like that weapon wheel fills up after you get 8 weapons, but then there's like a tab and you could tab over to a second weapon wheel. I guess that doesn't work because that the form wheel is on the fly, like enemies are still coming at you. You could probably work it somehow. But yeah, that game's pretty cool. Jeff, you play anything else?
I played through Resident Evil Village again.
That's gonna be Jeff's story for this year, just replaying his favorites.
Yeah. I mean, I need something to play, so yeah, played through that, and still, I think it's like a really good Resident Evil game. Like, I don't know what there's to add about it, but I think it's pretty memorable. Like most of the areas and the sequences and stuff. Like I remembered from a year ago. So, like you know, there's like kind of like near the end that Heisenberg factory with all those fucking like mechanical fucking shit in it, like Frankenstein fucking monsters. Like I don't know. I think that game is like. I think it's better than 7, and I would put it in like the top half of the Resident Evil games. Like I would put it below 1, 2, and 4. Okay. Just like right below those. But yeah, I don't know what else there's, you know. It's Resident Evil Village. It's cool.
Yeah. Tony, you play anything else?
Just baseball.
Baseball.
I love. I'm playing it right now. Baseball is so good. Love baseball.
Me and Tony have a lot to say about what we've been playing this week.
So much. I already talked a bunch. What do you want from me, Jeff?
Tony did rip apart his Total War game. So. His
favorite game of all time. Favorite game.
Earl, aside from dodgeball, play anything?
Actually, yes. I started playing Spelunking 2 with my friend. Which, I mean, I've never played Spelunking, so I don't necessarily know how to compare it to that. I knew it was a roguelike. I was just surprised at how. What am I trying to say? It's very weird. I was taken aback by the fact that, like, when you die, you just kind of die. Like, you start over the game. I figured, because, like, some of them nowadays have persistence level up systems in some regard.
Right.
This does not.
And I've not played Spelunky either. Is it randomized? Like, is it always the same and you're just trying to figure out the map?
It's randomized. Like, there's some elements, like, I mean, as far as we got up to, like, world, where did we go? We got up to world 2, and, like, so, like, 1-4 will always be, like, the boss encounter, but, like, how you get there and what it is different every time. Again, not, like, there's stuff that's similar, like, certain enemy, but again, the layout itself is different, and like each level you're just trying to find the exit. Along the way you can do like little tasks, like there's one so far, again, we've already done like the first world consistently. You can find there's a guy who you find his turkeys and you bring him 3 turkeys and he'll give you something. There's a dog on every stage to rescue, and you bring the dog to If you bring the dog to the and he will give you a kiss which you can use to refill your health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those, and then like, yes, then there's sometimes hidden chests where you have to bring like a key with you and open it. But yeah, other than that, I think it's like those elements exist, but like it is random. So it's like, yeah, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get or, you know, like what type of enemies you're going to see and stuff like that. So it's very fascinating in that regard, I think. But yeah, the actual game is, again, I've not played the first one. I don't even know really what to compare it to because like my initial instance would be something like Dig Dug. But even then, you don't have like a lot of weapons to use as like tools and stuff. You just kind of, yeah, you just kind of you have nothing except like a rope and some bombs, and then you can unlock some more stuff as you go. But the actual character is pretty damn weak for a video, as far as like your default state.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get gold, and you can buy stuff at the shop, and even the stuff at the shop is random. So sometimes you might get a gun, you might get a pickaxe. You might get like classes that you see, all the hidden gems and stuff like that, or you might not get, you might get a bunch of extra ropes and bombs to do the things you do. But yeah, I don't know when we go back to it. It was, my usual game night is Wednesday. One of our friends is expecting his first kid, so he was unable to join us. So we had to find a 2-player game so we couldn't continue Aliens. So if he's around next week, we'll go back to that. If not, maybe more Spelunking next week.
All right.
I think that's that. I mean,
that is hard.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. I did not. I remember, like, kind of liking Spelunky 1, but maybe it was just because, like, the genre itself was new to me with that game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is like kind of the same thing. It's probably they're probably just as hard as each other. But I deleted that game pretty quickly. I'm like, ah, fuck you. I don't think I ever made it to the second world, Earl. Like I kept dying.
And I think this one is probably because it is called, because yeah, there's a lot of ways to die. Like you can take fall damage. There's always some booby trap everywhere.
Yeah, it's
There are
like
times where, again, because it's random, it's like you'll get stuck between like an enemy who just ping pongs you between another enemy, and it's like no way for you to really recover, and then you're dead. And again, like there's not a ton of ways to like recover health in the level. You don't have a lot of ways. Actually, I mean, most of the enemies so far, I actually have not been able to like defeat. It's more like just how to avoid them.
yeah.
Which again, not a problem. It's just really weird for a video game, because video games tend to be so, I mean, you want to give the player the ability to just feel so great and powerful. So that's what you get in a lot of video games. It's just like you're the most kick-ass person in the world, and this does not have that. So it takes some getting used. But again, like I said, the weirdest thing to me still remains, because you go a lot of games, you go like what was I gonna say? Like Curse of the Dead Guards or Shade of Spire or Dead Cells. It's like yes, you start over, but like usually it's like you gain more health, you get stronger weapons, you're able to pick something at the start. Where this one is just like, nope, you start over from square one.
But
Like,
like, I think at least in Splunky 1, like say if you got to the next world, there would be like a shortcut for you to get back there. So like when you died, you didn't have to play world 1 again.
okay,
I
maybe.
don't know if Splunky 2 is like that because again, I don't think I ever beat the first level. I was just like, ah, never mind.
Yeah,
But
I will look for
oh
that
yeah,
next.
you're right. It's just like you just start over. Like there's nothing. You gain stuff within your run, you know. Right, but like, yeah, once you die, it's like you're just starting from scratch again.
Yeah. Which again, I'm sure that's a staple of the genre, but it's weird because I feel like a lot of modern ones at least understand that like, part of it is like, yes, the person's getting better and they can, but like, yeah, let's reward them for getting this far. And it also adds that risk and reward element to some certain parts of it where it's like, oh, like you need to get to the end of the level so you can get like restore these gems or whatever random currency they decided on this game so that you can use it to, go to the vault. I think Hades also does that where it's like, okay, now you can start with this weapon or you have this power that you can pick from, and this does not do that, so.
I mean, like the thing I like about Splunky though, it does like feel good, I like the way he plays, like the way the character controls or whatever, but yeah, I don't know, like it's just too, again, it's too easy to die and random like that, like, I don't know. Didn't like the second one. I was like, I guess I don't like these anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how far I would have stuck with it if it was not co-op.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Couple other pieces of news here. 505 Games is kicking off, I guess, their announcements next week. They have a digital showcase on May 17th. Who knows what that's
Ooh.
going to entail, but.
Get excited about 505.
Right.
Like, I know the name, but what are they known for?
I mean, they published Control, but that was a Remedy game. They published Bloodstained, the what's that? The Iga, the Castlevania type
The
game.
Castlevania, yeah.
They are evidently publishing Mercury Steam's next game. Which is some sort of RPG that they're doing. They did the Death Stranding Director's Cut on PC, and that game had just launched on Game Pass. I think it's Chronicle Rising or something like that. That's one of theirs too. They don't develop games, so I guess it depends on who they've signed on to publish games for. But that, I guess, E3 season, which doesn't really exist anymore, is kicking off next week.
Yeah, not E3. It's the Summer Game Fest season.
Right, the Keelys, right?
Keelys. I forgot if we talked about that last week. That we did. That you can watch them at movie theaters.
Yeah. Yeah, you said that.
Because, you know, that's what I have. Game funk.
And the last thing I have here is Jim Ryan just went out there.
He said the most educated thing you could say in this current environment, which is like, you know, it's awesome, dogs and cats.
And also both sidings, the
yes.
women's health. Like, what a weird, like, I know it was an internal email, but like that shit leaks, and I don't know what that man was thinking. Like, it's been very quiet from a lot of companies. Like, you haven't heard anything on, right. Which is, I mean, if you're not,
there's no good way to go. And why does a video games company opinion on abortion matter?
Ultimately, yes. So just don't get involved.
Right.
But when you make a statement like this publicly to your employees, it seemed pretty shitty.
And like, not just like your team, but like your entire company of thousands of people. Like, of course this leaked. Of course it did. And of course people were upset. Like, that's the part that gets me. How did he know, as a man in the modern world, that this would not go over well? What was going through his brain that made him think that this is okay, this is a good thing to say?
Well, the thing that drives me, or the thing that gets me, is that, like, none of us are our own boss. We all have a supervisor. And so, is that, like, something like this did not happen by happenstance. It wasn't just, like, him going all wild and crazy on his own. Like, this was probably vetted,
yes,
and read through by several people. Like, oh, yeah, this yes. makes sense. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, you should totally send this out. And nobody's like, oh, no. I assume there was one person like, this is stupid, please don't. He's like, no, they'll understand, they'll get it.
Was the one woman on the advisory board was like, don't do this.
And he's like, no, I got this. And
well, I wouldn't surprise me if all the people advising him on this were men.
Yeah. That would not surprise me at all either. Especially with some of the reports about, you know, sexism in the workplace at Sony. So this is shitty. He should not have said anything.
Yeah, that's the dumbest part, is it's completely unforced. He didn't need to say anything. In fact, he could have probably just, if he wanted to send out this email, just dinged all the parts that had anything to do with abortion. Let me talk about my cats. Things right. aren't going well. Then it would have become funny and lighthearted.
Right.
Instead.
Like, exactly. And people are interpreting, like, I mean, I've not read the entire letter, so I've only seen, you know, the pieces that came out of Schreier's piece in Forbes. But like he made that, like, kind of both sides, the abortion issue. And then at the end, talks about how dogs know their place.
Yeah, that was not a good thing to say.
Like, it may not be related, it just doesn't look good.
It's like the dogs were a long metaphor for what he wanted.
Right. Again, like I said, my big thing is, like, it was written and sent out. It feels like somebody rambling. Like, okay, if this is like him Hey, who got lost in his train of thought? I would accept it a bit more. It would still be bad, but like we've all been there. Like we started talking, and the thought just got away from us. But yes. This was him sharing something that was vetted by his organization. Like, yeah, this is a good statement. Send it out to everybody.
Yeah, because like the, you know, having worked in a corporation, and Tony, you as well. Like,
yeah.
You know that these messages that go company wide, it's not like your boss is popping open Outlook and typing in like a,
right.
Hey guys, like it's Friday.
In fact, frequently, that person hasn't written any of it at all.
Right. Like it's almost always the executive assistant or like, hey, like send this out. Like here's the gist of what I need you to do. Jesus Christ. I'm good luck, people. We're in for a ride. We'll be back next week. No new games likely. Although that Evil Dead game did just come out. And I'm kind of interested in seeing that. Although I didn't realize it was a multiplayer game. Is it kind of like Friday the 13th? Or
I don't know. I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Earl?
I was going to say, I thought it was asymmetrical, but that's the Texas. No, what is this?
There is. The Friday the 13th guys are making Texas Chainsaw. It's like the same thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I can't wait. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen any reviews for the Evil Dead game. I do know it's evidently multiplayer focused. I'm interested in it. I will see how reviews are. I know mutual Twitter followers have one of them at least has bought it. He's looking for people to play with him.
Did anyone else buy this game?
Sean, yes.
Yeah, I'm. Like I am open to buying it, provided it is not like coming in at like a garbage game. I bought worse, so I bought Balan Wonderland, which I haven't played yet.
Did you buy it?
Yeah, I used that $10 that $10 gift thing that Microsoft had sent me, so it ended up costing like $2 or something like that. So. But I haven't brought myself to actually play it. It's just sitting there on my hard drive.
$10 and some self-loathing.
You know what you should do instead of buying Evil Dead is buy Friday the 13th.
I have it. They own it.
The fuck?
I will play it with you guys if you want to play.
Yeah, Earl. Earl's got it, right? I'll play it.
Is it crossplay?
Don't you have it on Xbox?
No, I had it because it was a PlayStation Plus title.
Oh, you son of a...
I think I also have it on PlayStation because it was a PlayStation Plus title.
All right, well, I guess you two could play
it. I mean, I can play it with you. I can play it with you on Xbox, Jeff. I can play it with Earl on PlayStation and you on Xbox, but...
Yes, we should play it sometime, for sure.
All right. So maybe Evil Dead, probably not. We'll see. But we'll be back next week. Hopefully no other executives in the game industry stick their foot in their mouth. And
actually, if they do, we'll have something to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need something.
We'll get something to talk about.
I mean, we always have something to talk about. It just might not be games.
We got that 505 industry event next week.
Exactly. You can't wait to talk about 505, which... Which you just asked me a minute ago. What do they even do? They are super important. Although if they showed Bloodstained 2, I wouldn't be upset about that.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.